Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, September 25th, and today, three things I learned from the media day at Little Caesars Arena, and also an interview with GR3, as we're going to keep it in the theme of three today. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. And thanks for the listen. What's up, first of all, to the new listeners? Many of you out there, as the season starts, are jumping on board, and we appreciate that. I know the regulars are out there spreading the word, and we appreciate that even more so. A little background about me for the new listeners as we open up the new season here on Locked On Pistons. I'm a Royal Oak guy, grew up in the suburbs here, went to Central Michigan, and always knew that I wanted to be a sports writer and a sports broadcaster. So here I am doing that on a daily basis back in my hometown. Couldn't be happier to be back. I moved to Port Huron after graduating from college at Central, after doing a summer in Lansing, interning for the Lansing State Journal out there. Moved to Port Huron, worked there for 4 years at the Times-Herald newspaper, and then moved down chasing the bigger market to Springfield, Missouri, a nice mid-sized city in the Ozarks down there, covered high school sports and also some of the minor leagues and college sports that they have in the great state of Missouri, the Show Me State. Spent 4 years at the News Leader paper down there, and then spent 3 years in the Virgin Islands as the sports editor at the Daily News, the Virgin Islands Daily News. Covered the Olympics for them in Brazil, spent a month down in Rio de Janeiro. Covered the retirement of Tim Duncan, who was from St. Croix in the VI, and had a great experience on the beach and hanging out in the water down in the Virgin Islands. And then I spent 2 years in Chicago working there for the Associated Press and also for a couple of websites remotely from home as well. Loved my time in the Windy City, and now been back a couple months here in the Detroit area and excited to bring this season to you guys. So, like I said, spread that word and subscribe to the show, and also get in touch with us on social media as well. We'll give out the social media handle right here. It's Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. Also a Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check that one out, at Locked On Pistons. We got a Facebook page as well, at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. So a lot of places that you can find us out there. Also, I got the Instagram page. It's more of a personal one and less of a show one, but we'll do some more stuff with the Pistons on Instagram as well. The account there is just under Matt Shook. So I believe that the handle there is Matthew_SCHOCH. And I put Bruce Springsteen lyrics with all my photos on Instagram. So enjoy that. Although at some point I'm going to run out of lyrics and I'll probably just post photos like everyone else does. By the way, Bruce turned 69 on Sunday. So happy birthday to my guy, Bruce Springsteen. I'm sure that he is a very regular listener of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I can't imagine that that would not be the case, that Bruce would not listen to my podcast. But anyway, today we're going to give you the rundown for Media Day at Little Caesars Arena. I got some sound, and I'll play it throughout the week from some of the Pistons here on the show. But I've also got some general thoughts from the interviews, the three biggest takeaways that I have from Media Day today. We're also going to be playing for you the interview from Pistons Media with Glenn Robinson III as he was up on the dais talking to the media just like the rest of the players were. But I thought it was particularly interesting to hear from him, especially with training camp starting in Ann Arbor and his alma mater at the University of Michigan starting on Tuesday today. And also, I'm going to give you the details about what's going on in Ann Arbor this week in case you want to stop by there for the open practice for the public on Saturday, and also some exclusive members-only events coming up later in this week for the Pistons as well. But like I said, today was Media Day at Little Caesars Arena, a large contingent of the Detroit media there. A lot of people tired from spending most of the night at Ford Field for the thrilling and decisive and very impressive Lions victory. Really the best one we've seen in years, but congrats to the Leos. Check out Locked On Lions with Matt Derry, our sister, or I guess brother, podcast as part of the Locked On Pistons Network. And the Pistons, by the way, headed to Ann Arbor today for the start of training camp, which will continue through Saturday at the Bill Davidson Performance Center on the campus of the University of Michigan, right by the Big House, right connected to the Chrysler Center as well. And like every media day across the NBA today, positivity everywhere, and hey, it's what it's all about. It's end of September. Everyone's undefeated so far this season. Optimism about the season. And like I said, that's every team right now. But I will say this. My first takeaway from Media Day, for all the reasons to be down about this team and this group and this franchise, and you have many reasons at this point as Pistons fans who have endured the last 10 years or so, you have to like the fact, well, I guess you don't have to, but you might like the fact that these guys are genuinely in it together. And that's been the case for a couple of years, really, with the pretty much the entire Andre Drummond era. Maybe Greg Monroe was a guy who wasn't quite happy in Detroit, and once he was gone, things got different. Obviously, Josh Smith, that era didn't go very well. So to clear out those guys maybe was kind of a turning point with this franchise in that kind of way, in terms of the locker room continuity between the players off the court anyway. And I had a good feeling about that while I was there. You know that Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, their friendship is well documented. Blake Griffin probably just relieved to be away from some of the personalities that he was around in L.A., pretty much happy to be the guy and kind of, people stay off of his back here in Detroit as far as I can tell. And the going hasn't gotten tough because Blake Griffin hasn't gone through a full season here and hasn't dealt with the fact that fans are going to be really disappointed if things go downhill coming up this year. But you know what? Despite the fact that I was listening to all the interviews and hearing all the guys and seeing them all glowingly talk about each other, I was thinking back to Scott Hastings, our interview with him last week, and also the Isaiah Thomas book that I'm reading, which was written ghostwriter by Matt Dobak, the famous and great former PR director from the Pistons who tragically died some years back as part of a suicide. And we'll be talking about that in a few days here on the Lockdown Pistons podcast. Excited for an interview that we have coming up about that. But Isaiah Thomas wrote a book after the first championship with Matt Dobak. And those teams, the Bad Boys, man, and I know that we don't want to bring everything back to the Bad Boys all the time, but it is an important part of Pistons culture and Detroit basketball culture as well. Those teams didn't always get along. And certainly, for the most part, it was actually quite the opposite. And they weren't afraid to get into each other at practice. They weren't afraid to be their own biggest critics and be their own biggest bullies at times. And I asked Stanley Johnson about this, the togetherness theme, the feeling and the camaraderie that the guys were talking about a few times. They spent time in Las Vegas, just like they did last summer. Once again, this summer, guys got together in Los Angeles quite a bit to work out together. But I asked him, can they get to a point in this ultimate team togetherness that they have where they can really get after it out there when they get together for five on fives in the offseason, when they're practicing at training camp, when they're practicing even during the season? Is there a way that these guys can really get after each other, instill a little brand of toughness within each other, within the locker room, so that maybe they are one of the tougher teams in the NBA coming up this season? And here's what Stanley had to say about that question.
Yeah, I think guys are able to express themselves a little more. And it's not like you just were hooping, you know, it's basketball. So I think guys are, and I think Casey wants that competitive environment. And we want it too. So I think, you know, a lot of guys are older, you know, than we were before. So we understand like kind of what it's going to take and what it feels like to be, you know, when the lights are on and stuff like that. So we try not to go in there and waste any time. If we're going to, you know, go out there and compete, we're going to play hard. We're not going to try to hurt each other, obviously, but We're gonna play really, really hard. The optional workouts have been really competitive. In training camp, I think we'll be even more competitive.
So there's Stanley Johnson, and maybe that is a maturity thing. Maybe that is a team growing up a little bit. We know that these guys, when we talk about Reggie Jackson and Stanley Johnson and Andre Drummond, pretty similar in age. And I know that Blake Griffin adds a little bit more experience to this team. But maybe guys like Stanley Johnson, who play a little bit more tougher of a brand of basketball, especially defensively, can impose their will on their teammates a little bit more and get the overall shift in attitude to be something that's a little bit tougher, a little bit meaner on the court, which I know would be well received in the city of Detroit with these basketball fans that we have with the Pistons. Like I said, maybe Bruce Brown is a guy that can impose his will a little bit. It appears to be the kind of hard-nosed rookie that could make an impact with this team and this franchise. And maybe Zaza Pachulia, a guy who, known as a cheap shot artist, but also known as a guy who's a pain to play against, and don't want to draw the Bill Laimbeer comparisons quite yet with Zaza Pachulia, but certainly a guy along the lines who's hated around the league and kind of wears that as a badge of honor as far as his play. So we'll see if that's something that kind of develops throughout the years as well. But Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily NFL podcast Mondays. It's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, we got former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels. He joins host Matt Williamson. Then Wednesdays, it is Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. And then Thursdays, it's the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And then Friday, we get Matt's picks. So a lot going on with the Locked On NFL show. subscribe and check that one out on the part of the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Up next, I'm going to have my two other takeaways from media, and we're also going to be Media Day, and we're also going to hear from Glenn Robinson III later on. But hey, you've heard me talk about advertising, and guess what? I'm going to be actively looking for more advertisers now that I'm back in Detroit. So if your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 to 44, Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44, all sorts of daily dedicated listeners. If you're interested in reaching that group, email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
A little bit later on, we will hear from Glenn Robinson III, the newest Detroit Pistons addition coming over from the Indiana Pacers, as he gets ready for training camp, which opens today at his alma mater, the University of Michigan. But a couple of other things that stood out to me from Media Day, and that's Andre Drummond's three-pointers was the talk with a lot of players, including Blake Griffin, who said that he doesn't believe that all players and teams that are going to shoot a lot of three-pointers need to be shooting those three-pointers. Certainly wasn't a call-out of Andre or something like that, but he went on to say that he's been making them during Team USA practice, so certainly wasn't a dig at him. But all the players were asked probably at one point about Andre Drummond shooting threes, including Drummond, and he went on to say that he's been shooting about 300 to 350 a day from the corner and another 200 or so from the top of the key. In all, he says he's shooting about 1,000 three-pointers a day, and that he's knocking down about 40% of them during the voluntary workouts that the team went through these last couple weeks. He says he's been shooting some contested three-pointers and game speed type of three-pointers as well, and like I said, knocking down about 40% of them, according to him. Anyway, so something to watch out for, whether he's going to be shooting one a game or two a game or how many he's going to put up. That was a lot of the in-jest conversations between the media and players like Andre, but we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Obviously, it's something that we're going to find out all together. Maybe it's a preseason thing. Maybe it's an early season thing. Or maybe it's something that's going to stick around the entire season, especially if Andre is able to knock down a few of them. And we know that Andre Drummond, all this time last year, we were, and myself included, were talking about how if we could just get those free throw percentages up to about something like 45%, that would make life a lot easier. Well, Andre Drummond got up to about 60, made us all look silly for thinking that he could never get to those levels. And he did something. He worked on it, changed up the routine, and made it happen from the free throw line. So all of us who are out there maybe snickering and thinking that it's not possible that he's going to become anything close to a competent NBA three-point shooter, maybe he's got something up his sleeve for us as the season gets going here. Another thing that stood out to me was the preparation of the coaching staff in terms of them sending out some of the player development people out to Los Angeles and warming up with the guys and working with the guys throughout the whole summer, something that the players said that wasn't done in the past during the Stan Van Gundy regime. And also the players seeing that there's a willingness to try new things with the coaching staff coming through. Stanley Johnson was one of the guys who noted that the players noticed that the coaching staff was out there meeting with them and communicating with them throughout the whole summer, noting that one of the player development guys was driving from Los Angeles to Santa Barbara every day. The guys noticed that kind of thing, and they noted that as they were being interviewed at Media Day on Tuesday. So something that they're, I'm sorry, on Monday. So something that the players are noticing, and they're also excited for some of the willingness to try new things, maybe some unusual position combinations. Stanley Johnson was asked about playing the five in some situations, defending some of the big players in the NBA. Now, of course, he's not going to defend a guy like Joel Embiid, but maybe some of those lineups out there with like an Al Horford, a small ball five, who's going to be maybe doing some of the work out there on the perimeter. I hadn't heard this. Rod Beard had asked about it, and it's something that I missed somewhere in the summer conversations as far as Stanley Johnson possibly being a small ball five in what would be obviously an unusually small lineup for the Pistons, but something that Dwayne Casey and his staff are seemingly open to trying some of those things. When you think about the Andre Drummond three-point experiment, Stanley Johnson playing the five, again, I'll believe it when I see it. But some other things that aren't as big of a risk, aren't as big of an abnormality, would be things like Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith playing together in certain lineups, putting those point guards together, getting Reggie Jackson the ability to be off the ball a little bit. He's a pretty good spot-up shooter as I noticed when reading over some of James Edwards III in The Athletic, some of his player previews, noted that Reggie Jackson's obviously actually a very good spot-up three-point shooter, but it's not something we see a lot and have seen a lot these last few years. He's the guy with the ball in his hands, so a lot of the threes that he's putting up are off the dribble or things of that sort. So some unusual possibilities and links and plays, the players that could be playing together that might be new things, and players put into positions that might be different as well. Stanley Johnson was asked about it. And again, one of the themes that a lot of the media are talking about, I'm thinking about a video I saw with Vince Ellis and Sean Windsor on the Freep.com website, some tweets I saw from Brian Chapman of 97.1 The Ticket, a guy who seems to be one of those guys that's trying to do something with every question in his press conferences. And I think you might know what I'm talking about there. Maybe not the best way to describe it, but a guy who's kind of got a motive. He's kind of trying to get something started with every question. And there was a theme of the players. When you get asked about over and over and over again about something, especially when you're trying to be positive about the year coming up, they're talking about Dwayne Casey and his coaching staff having a flexibility and having the ability to try new things as what they perceive as a strength going into this season. And of course, the flip side of that is that maybe that sounds like they're ripping on Stan Van Gundy for having too rigid of a system, for not trying things like giving Stanley Johnson a lot more responsibilities with versatility. Well, the way I saw it, he was put in a lot of different positions to succeed, and the fact that they weren't trying Andre Drummond shooting three-pointers, well, I don't think Andre Drummond was anywhere near ready to be trying three-pointers last season. It wasn't something that was broached at all. And I think even still right now, myself included, there's a lot of Pistons followers and a lot of you fans out there that are thinking, there's no way that this is going to work. There's no way that Andre Drummond's going to be stepping out there and shooting three-pointers at a really consistent clip to the point where that would be a consistent part of what the Pistons' offense will be. I just don't see that happening. Now, again, I'll be happy to be proven wrong by Andre, just like we were all proven wrong last year. So I think that there was a perception that maybe players were complaining about Stan Van Gundy and the way that they were lauding the coaching staff of Dwayne Casey. I would say that from my perspective and sitting there all day and listening to the players, I think it was kind of the exact opposite. Andre Drummond, although he said something like, guys will be happy to get out of their box, he wasn't saying it in jest and kind of caught himself after that and went on and on about how much he likes Stan Van Gundy, how much he appreciated playing for him. And even Stanley Johnson, one of the more noted players who clashed with Stan Van Gundy over the years, went on out of his way to talk about how he's matured over the years. He would do a lot of things differently. Kind of blamed himself for some of the communication issues that were going on with Stan Van Gundy throughout his career. So this was not a Stan Van Gundy rip fest. This was more of a happiness ready to try new things, ready to turn the chapter, ready to get a fresh voice out in their locker room. It was more of compliments to Dwayne Casey than it was ripping on Stan Van Gundy. And I know that that's the easy thing to do, especially with a guy like Stan Van Gundy, who's an easy one to pile on. He's got that kind of persona where maybe you can kind of just rip on a little bit and feel all right about it because he's that intellectual guy, that easy guy to kind of poke fun of, that, you know, not the typical athletic body, obviously, as well, when you think about coaches throughout the league. So Stan Van Gundy, I appreciated the last couple articles that Vince Ellis did about him. There was one that was over the weekend as well about Stan Van Gundy and what he's going to do with the next phase of his career, if there is going to be a phase of his coaching career anyways. But I think Stan Van Gundy deserves a lot of credit for taking this team from the depths of where they were when he took over and moving it into a better era, although certainly unfulfilled when we look back at his time with the Detroit Pistons. But fans, are you feeling it? Are you feeling any optimism? What did you think when you saw, when you read some of the coverage, when you watched some of the videos, or maybe you were there yourself? What did you think about Media Day and some of the things that the fans or the players were saying as you were watching it? You can call us and leave a voice message on our new Google Voice number, or text the number, and we will add your 2 cents to the conversation that we have here daily on the Locked On Pistons podcast. The number for that is 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666 Vinny Johnson, Joe D, Terry Mills, 810-666-1546. The Locked On NBA, that podcast never went away, and it is still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories, and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the NBA, the entertaining league that it is. Follow for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Up next, we've got Glenn Robinson III, some audio from Media Day on Monday, the newest Piston. We'll be talking about that next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
How weird is it going to be practicing at Chrysler tomorrow?
Yeah, it's about to be very weird. The first couple steps in there, it's just going to bring back a lot of memories in Chrysler and at the arena.
You've been working all this summer to really, really strengthen.
Yeah, I think that obviously I was still in a rehab process, but you know, also just my ability to put it on the floor, my ability to pass, my overall game is something I always work on in the summer. But I'm excited to see the transitions that I made and being able to help the team out in other ways besides just shooting and you know, strictly defense.
You got places you're going to show off in Ann Arbor to your teammates?
You know, I think we stay in a up at the Campus Inn, you know, we stayed there back in school. Just take them on a little tour. I think I'm in charge of that for the team.
Singerman's.
We're going to hit all the restaurants. Might make them go to the M-Den, get something out the M-Den. Support, go blue.
Rick's.
What are your first impressions of Coach Casey?
Coach Casey, he actually was the first coach that I talked to during the free agency process, and when I talked to him, he was just different. Very genuine guy. You know, he talked to me about being born in Indianapolis, his family. So we really connected from there, and you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, he cares about his players and he cares about us as humans first. And I think he does a great job, but you know, at the same time, we come to practice to work, and he really knows what he's doing, and you can see that, and just a different mentality from what I've seen in the past. You know, with my coaches, I'm definitely excited to get this rolling with him.
Have they talked to you about a role yet? Because I know they aggressively pursued you in free agency, and they wanted to upgrade at that wing position. But not even in terms of starting or coming off the bench, but being a solid three-point shooter, solid defender, and I know you guys did role cards too. What was your role?
Yeah, you know, what you just said, my shooting ability to be able to defend my position, I think is going to be huge for us. You know, it's going to be up to coach, you know, whether who he puts in that starting wing spot. But I think the most important thing to me is finishing. You know, it's always been finishing games. It's always been that winning mentality. And however we got to get that done, you know, I'm about that.
Why'd you pick the trade?
Like I said, when I first talked to coach during that free agency process, you know, this seemed to be a right fit for me. Everything from, you know, going to U of M to coming here and being a solidified role player on this team, being able to help this team in a lot of different ways. I think that at that wing spot, coming in is a huge opportunity for me. I think the biggest opportunity that I had out there, look forward to, you know, this being a long-term thing. That's my goal, and just working as hard as I can to accomplish that.
Throughout your career, it seems like the word potential has been tagged with you, and then it seemed like last year was going to be the kind of the breakout year for you before the injury. Was that your thought process going into the year? I think you started a good amount of games the year before. Were you kind of, obviously you're hurt when you go down,
right.
But did you really expect that to be the year that you solidified yourself as an?
Yeah, I did. You know, I think last year I was going into the season with very high expectations after starting a lot of games with, you know, Paul George's injury a couple, you know, years back, winning the dunk contest, going off a lot of confidence, and just seeing my game grow, I was excited. And the last 2 days of training camp, it was just a freak accident. I landed very weird on my ankle, tore two ligaments, and kept me out 56 games. So came back the end of the year strong and confident. But I think that over the course of this summer and my rehab process that I've done, I really look at it like people haven't seen me play in a couple years, in a long time. And I'm excited about that. You know, I'm not worried about that, not nervous, and I'm more excited to show my whole game. But, you know, more so here with a new team, a fresh start, new coach, a lot of different things that's going very well for this team and this organization. So I'm excited to really be back here in Michigan and win some games.
As a young player, when you go down with an injury, how do you use that rehab time to continue getting better, becoming a smarter player? What did you do?
I really just took a step back. You know, it showed me a lot about my patience. It showed me a lot about, you know, who I was as a person, my work ethic, you know, everything. And you really got to take, you can't take anything for granted, you know. And you know, I'm coming into training camp, coming into media day this year, you know, more excited than ever, with a chip on my shoulder, with confidence. And just because it was all taken away from me last year, you know, I sat out 56 games and I wasn't able to get out there on the court with my teammates. So just having fun is the most important thing to me, and just getting back out there and playing as hard as I can. And I'm definitely excited to show that.
And that was Glenn Robinson III from Media Day on Monday for the Detroit Pistons at the Little Caesars Arena as training camp opens today, Tuesday, September 25th. So excited to get that going, and excited to have you guys along for the ride here on the Locked On Pistons podcast throughout the season. Follow us on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, aptly named at the handle Locked On Pistons. And also give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Again, this is your host, Matt Shook. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you guys soon as the 2018-19 Detroit Pistons season has pretty much officially begun. Thanks for listening, everyone.